Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. Sunday is Mother's Day, one of the most special days in our year, and I want to wish a very special day of celebration for all those who are mothers in the city of Pecos and the surrounding area, all those who may be listening to this broadcast. We appreciate each of you for all the good things that you do in helping to raise your families, and we hope that your day of celebration is a very, very special time for you. Our lesson this morning is going to focus on mothers as a way of recognizing them and also encouraging them from God's Word in the great work that they do in raising their families. One of the primary Hebrew words for fear appears some 384 times in the Old Testament. Of these instances, this word is translated by some form of the English word fear or afraid about 330 times. In most of these cases, the word carries the ordinary understanding of the concept of fear. In about 46 instances, though, this word is translated by the English words revere, reverence, awe, or to stand in awe. In some of these cases, where the Hebrew word is translated fear in English, the context suggests reverence and respect rather than the idea of terror. In those cases, the word stands for what Lawrence O. Richard calls a religious concept in his Expository Dictionary of Bible Words. Quoting from pages 274 and 275, Richard says, "Fear of God is a religious concept with an intimate link to right relationship with God. To fear God means to acknowledge His power and His authority. To fear God also means to adopt a godly lifestyle out of respect for Him. One who fears God makes the moral choices that reflect the character of the Lord." With this explanation in mind, we'll begin our study today by looking at a verse of Scripture that reflects exactly what Richards was saying. The place where we will begin reading is in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 30. Now, this verse is essentially Solomon's conclusion about the worthy woman or excellent wife that he writes about in this part of Proverbs. In verses 10 to 31, he speaks of her in the highest terms because of her godly character and her many good works. She is a woman who has much to commend her. But the basis for all of it is the words we find here in verse 30. Solomon says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." Everything that the worthy woman is as a woman, as a wife, and as a mother is because of her relationship to the Lord. We get the sense here that were she not a woman who feared the Lord, none of these things would be true of her. This seems particularly true given the powerful but brief contrast that Solomon makes here. He speaks of two aspects of feminine character which are highly prized in the world. These are charm, some might call this feminine wiles, and beauty. Charm is that device by which women are able to get men to do their bidding by a coquettish look or coy mannerism. Solomon calls this deceitful, and it is. Very often it is employed selfishly, without care or concern for the one upon whom it is used. Beauty is the second device that Solomon names, and he says it is vain. In the world, a woman who has physical beauty will generally receive greater attention from men, and some so endowed will try to use it in a selfish way to their own advantage. Reliance upon beauty to succeed in life is vain, because beauty passes, and because there is always going to be someone more beautiful, just as there will always be someone less beautiful than oneself. By contrast, Solomon elevates the woman who fears the Lord above all the others. She alone shall be praised, by her husband, by her children, and most importantly, by the Lord. We need to note here that in this instance, when Solomon speaks of fearing the Lord, he is not talking about being in terror of Him. Of course, those who are disobedient should fear the Lord in this way because of the judgment that He has promised to bring against them, but this is not what is in view here. Solomon is talking about a woman who holds the Lord in high esteem, in complete reverence, and in such respect that she would never willingly disregard His will. A woman who fears the Lord places her obedience to Him above all else in life. Like the worthy woman in Proverbs 31, everything she does says, "This is a godly woman." This being the case, let's make practical application of Solomon's declaration by taking note of five ways in which a woman may demonstrate that she fears the Lord. The first of these is that she will obey the gospel. If anyone wants to know what real fear is, he need only consider what the Scriptures say about standing before God at judgment. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul says that when Jesus returns, he will deal out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If this were not enough to move one to obedience, consider that the writer of Hebrews, as he discussed those who willfully sinning, he said, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay.' And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God." That's from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 30 and 31. One who fears the Lord, whether man or woman, will obey the gospel and live in obedience to the Lord thereafter. This is especially important with regard to our children. If mom is not a Christian, the children won't see the need to be one either. Ladies, if you fear the Lord, you'll obey the gospel so that your sins will be washed away and so that your example of obedience will lead your children to do the same. The gospel is simple. It is the good news that there is a Savior, and his name is Jesus. Those who believe he is the Son of God, who turn away from sin, who confess his name, and who are baptized into his name, will have their sins washed away and will rise to walk in newness of life. Those who have done so and remain faithful to him the rest of their lives will receive the crown of life in eternity. So if you fear the Lord, you will obey the gospel. Secondly, a woman who fears the Lord will dress and conduct herself modestly. As we consider what Solomon said about charm being deceitful and beauty being vain, it only makes sense that we must discuss modesty with regard to a woman who fears the Lord. We need to stop and ask ourselves what the purpose is of the clothing we choose to wear. Is it designed to reveal or highlight or draw attention to certain parts of one's body? Is this clothing or lack of clothing likely to cause a man to sin when he sees it? Is it something that makes a Christian woman look like something she is not? Does the clothing allow or encourage the one who wears it to act immodestly, even if skin is not showing? If so, then it doesn't fit the definition of modesty. To be modest means behaving according to a standard of what is proper and decorous, decent, pure, especially not displaying one's body. In 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10, Paul said, "Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness." A woman who fears the Lord will not dress or conduct herself in a way which facilitates impure thoughts or actions on the part of anyone who sees her, but rather she will act and dress as one who reveres her God. Thirdly, a woman who fears the Lord will be known by her good works. This is the second part of Paul's statement about women in 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10. Godly women do not draw attention to themselves by their provocative dress, but instead by the good things they do on behalf of their families and others. There is no finer example of this than Dorcas in Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Luke says, "Now in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did." Now the name Dorcas actually means gazelle. This suggests to us that she may very well have been a physically beautiful woman. However, nowhere in the record of her death and resurrection by Peter is any mention made of her physical appearance. Instead, everyone spoke of the good things she had done, showing Peter all the garments she had made for her neighbors and friends. Dorcas was a woman who feared the Lord, and she was remembered as such by virtue of her good works, which made her more beautiful to God than any other physically beautiful woman could be. A woman who fears the Lord will likewise clothe herself with good works, as is befitting one who professes godliness. In the fourth place, a woman who fears the Lord will act reverently toward the Lord and responsibly toward her husband and children. In Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, Paul gave these instructions. "Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Now, two things are at work here. First, that the older women lead by example, showing younger women how to properly conduct themselves, and that they actively teach the younger women to do these things. The second is that all women, whether young or old, are required by the apostle to live in this way. This means that a woman who fears the Lord is a model of Christian behavior. She is not involved in the irreverent and ungodly activities which characterize worldly women. Instead, she is a reverent person who speaks and acts with discretion and grace, and who never does anything which would bring dishonor on herself, on her husband, on her family, or on her God. This doesn't mean, of course, that she cannot work outside the home. The worthy woman of Proverbs 31 did so. But rather that it is that whatever she does, she demonstrates her reverence for God in the righteous way in which she conducts herself, and in the responsible manner in which she cares for her family. Finally, a woman who fears the Lord will faithfully fulfill the promises which God made her. In 1 Peter 3, verses 1 to 4, Peter said, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that if any of them, even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they might be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God." Now, the key feature of Peter's instruction is submission. This certainly is a topic at which many modern women chafe, especially as it regards their husbands. The world says that a woman should not have to be submissive to anyone, especially to a man. But the woman who fears the Lord understands that submission is a much more important issue than the relationship between men and women. The basis for submission, as Peter uses it here, and as Paul uses it elsewhere, is to first submit oneself to God. A woman who is not submissive to God will not be submissive to her husband, and she will not conduct herself in the way that Peter says is precious in the sight of God. The point is simply this. A woman who fears the Lord will adorn herself from the inside out with all of the things which please the Lord and which will last for eternity. A woman who loves the Lord will exercise influence over her family by the power of her godly example, and by the faithfulness of her teaching in gentleness, quietness, and in submission, because she has humbled herself in obedience to God first, and has satisfied herself in doing that for which God created her. Now, the things we have discussed this morning have not been addressed just to mothers, because they apply to all women, whether they are mothers now, or hope to be mothers sometime in the future, or never plan to be mothers. You see, every woman who fears the Lord, that is, who reveres Him as God, will conduct herself according to God's high standard. Every woman who does so will be rewarded in life by a satisfying and blessed existence, and will find a crown of life awaiting her in eternity. A woman who fears the Lord will be worthy of the honor which is bestowed upon mothers. And like the worthy woman of Proverbs chapter 31, she will be blessed and praised by her loved ones and by her God who is in heaven. May every woman everywhere be a woman who fears the Lord. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.